Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world. And to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented individuals who are going to show their skill with words and language as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Kerry Godleyman. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me, it's Sarah Sharp. She's going to help me with the score. She's going to blow the whistle and run the stopwatch for me. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they're going to try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And we'll begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject I have here is queuing. Tell us something about that. Boring. Queuing. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I'm glad that our esteemed chairman has pointed out that this subject is rather boring, but I shall do my best to enliven it. The queue for Just a Minute stretches all the way from the outside to the inside of this building. People have been in the queue for quite some time. Let's have a... give yourself a round of applause.
Giles, you've obviously got him for hesitation.
No, not for hesitation. Repetition of the word queue. The queue outside the theatre, then he repeated the word queue.
Yes, right, because queuing is a symbol.
Also, trying to butter up the audience never works, I find.
I don't think you've endeared yourself to this audience. Anyway, it was a correct challenge. So you get a point for the correct challenge, and you take over the subject, and there are 41 seconds left, starting now.
I have to say, in the queue today, the queuing was done in the most extraordinary way. It was like the conga. There was even an erotic charge, because these people are so physically attractive, so intellectually acute, that they have come to Just a Minute in a state of high excitement. For them, queuing is almost a missionary zeal.
Paul Tanner.
Well, I mean, there's patronising an audience in this. I think there was a little stumble over missionary zeal.
Yes, there was.
There was indeed, yes. Well, I think it's only justice because you've got it back again, Paul. You've got a point for a correct challenge. And there are 22 seconds still available. Queuing starting now.
It's quite common for an orgy to break out amongst the first five rows at a recording of this programme. And I think the British are renowned throughout the world for their queuing techniques, whether it be for football, cricket, tennis, cinema or theatre. We are known to stand one behind another in order to be an orderly line to get into whatever the venue is. I well remember the days of...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Paul Merton. So, as you can imagine, he's in the lead at the end of the first round. Jenny, will you begin the second round? And the subject we have here now is finger food. 60 seconds if you need it. Finger food, starting now.
Most food can be eaten with one's fingers, apart from soup and custard. Traditionally, though, finger food is served at parties and should be delicately lifted from the plate, popped into the mouth. So tiny little morsels, miniature vol-au-vent, chicken skewers, tiny little...
Kerry, you challenged.
Two tinies.
There were two tinies, yes.
Well, oh, I thought I said teeny. But you obviously tiny. Sound like tiny to Kerry.
No. Kerry, welcome to the show.
Oh, God.
39 seconds available if you need it. Finger food, starting now.
Finger food is not food made of fingers. It's food that is the size of fingers. And...
repetition of fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's finger food.
Yes, fingers. Not fingers.
No.
No.
Got it.
Got it. Paul got it first. Another point to you, Paul. 31 seconds available. Finger food starting now.
I went to a cannibal's picnic once and I was astonished when he opened up the basket and there was finger food. Literally knuckles for dinner. So I thought to myself, I am going to create the best finger food that there is. So I went into my kitchen, found the smallest pans available and started putting together the ingredients. A bit of flour, salmon and all kinds of cucumber. More than you could even possibly imagine they exist.
Challenge.
All kinds of cucumber.
Small ones, big ones, ripe ones.
Some as big as
three for a start. Sea cucumber. There's four. How many do you want?
All kinds. There are only two leading varieties sold in the United Kingdom.
I think that isn't a variety of cucumber. No, exactly. That is the state of a cucumber.
You're absolutely right, Nicholas.
Yeah. So, Giles, who's got a keen ear for this game, is listening well and has got a correct challenge, a point. 9 seconds still available, Giles. Finger food starting now.
There is a crisis in the cutlery manufacturing industry in this country as a direct result of the proliferation of finger food. Oh.
So, Giles Brander speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now moved forward. He's equal in the lead with Paul Merton. And, Giles, it's your turn to begin. The subject, a topical one, it's that time of year, the Grand National. Tell us something about that amazing steeplechase in this game, starting now.
Well, it was a topical one at the time the programme was recorded, but now, months later, we look back on the Grand National with huge affection. I can't quite tell you who won this year, because there is some confusion in my mind as to who it might be. I have privileged access to the Grand National because it has a sponsor that is in the healthcare business, and some of you will know, on television now, I am the voice of the Tenor Flex Plus Super Soft Incontinence Pack. People for providing the £1 million for the prize.
Terry, you've challenged.
You can't just put an endorsement in the middle of just...
No.
I mean, come on, there are standards, aren't there?
There are standards.
That's grubby.
Excuse me, excuse me. The Grand National, broadcast by the BBC, they call it the Randox Health Grand National.
Is that true?
It is true.
Right,
it's
okay,
a fact.
I stand corrected. That's allowed, then, is it? Is that allowed?
Kerry, well, now he's explained that, I think it is allowed, but as you haven't played the game much before, I think we'll give you a bonus point, because we love the interrupt.
Thank you very much.
But, Giles, an incorrect challenge, so you keep the subject. 32 seconds starting now.
The Grand National started, I believe, in 1839. You will be able to correct me, Nicholas, because perhaps you were acquainted with it at that time. I do not know. But you will be aware that it is run at Aintree and has been, except during the Great War, when it moved to Gatwick, where the airport now is. 16 jumps in the Grand National, and 14 of them are done twice. Beecher's Brook is the terrifying one. The chair also is a little bit alarming. And sadly, people every year find their horses underneath them collapsing and sometimes...
Right, so Giles Brander will speak as a whistle went, gain that extra point. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin. Oh, something which was very popular a little while ago, sticky back plastic. Oh, please talk about it in this game, starting now.
Sticky back plastic is something I associate with a DIY man called Barry Bucknell, who used to appear on the BBC. Oh, what a mistake.
It's not like Paul, that
not
one,
like
is
Paul.
No, no.
I was just trying to make sure I pronounced Barry Bucknell right.
Yeah. So, Jenny, a correct chat from...
Yeah, yeah.
A repetition of B, 53 seconds available. Sticky back plastic, starting now.
My favourite version of sticky back plastic comes in a roll called gaffer tape. The things you can do with that. Lean over, trousers bust, get it together with the sticky stuff, or remove hair from private places. Oh. Who needs expensive wax strips?
With gaffer tape?
Gaffer tape. Could demonstrate had I roll on me.
Well, I've got a roll here, actually.
So, Paul, what's your condition?
Well, I don't know. Is gaffer tape sticky back plastic?
I don't know.
I don't think it's the same thing.
It's plastic with a sticky back to it, in so much that it is plastic with a sticky back.
Maybe.
Oh, gosh. Oh. I think we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because you've got a lot of support from the audience. So an incorrect challenge. Jenny, you've still got the subject. 35 seconds. Sticky back plastic, starting now.
You can also whack a strip over somebody's mouth.
Oh, Paul. Paul Chan.
Did we have strip before?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Strip
yes.
it off, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you take over the subject, and there are 31 seconds available, starting now.
The children's programme Blue Peter in the 1960s used to go on a lot about sticky back plastic, and essentially it was something you stuck over wooden coffee tables to make them look a little brighter, perhaps. This was the era when plastic was considered a more superior material to the actual wood underneath. It was a fashion that lasted for...
Kerry Challenge.
Was it a repetition of wood?
Yes.
Was it?
Wood.
OK.
So, Kerry Wilderson, 12 seconds are available.
OK. I can work with that. I can work with 12 seconds.
You can.
Well, I think so. I've got loads of opinions and feelings on sticky back plastic.
Without hesitation, repetition or DVD.
I can't guarantee that, Nicholas.
No. Try sticky back plastic starting now.
When I was at school, people used to use sticky back plastic to stick pictures of their favourite pop stars on their exercise books. So I would have a picture of Bross or...
Jenny.
I can't believe I did that.
No, wasn't it picture and pictures?
Pictures and then pictures.
Yes.
Oh! Yeah.
I heard it. I heard myself do it.
So, no need to apologise,
Jenny. No,
I was listening, but that's my job.
You've got a job.
And pictures.
Yeah.
Wow, got away with it.
Yeah. Got away with it.
Hardly any seconds left to go.
Oh, God, if I messed this up, it'll be appalling.
Left, sticky back plastic, starting now.
I also stuck pictures...
Gary Codleman is then speaking to this.
Of course she did.
Gained that extra point, and she has leapt forward. She's now in third place. Charles is in the lead, just ahead of Paul, then Kerry, and then Jenny. And Jenny Eclair, we're back with you to begin the subject, UFOs. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
UFOs are unidentified flying objects. I tell you what I can't identify. Birds!
Paul Chan.
There was a bit of a stumble in there, wasn't there?
It was unfortunate that...
Yes.
I was choking.
Perhaps you should take the gaffer tape out of your mouth.
I think it was a justified correct challenge.
OK, fair enough.
So, Paul, another point to you. 52 seconds. UFOs starting now.
There's a monthly magazine called 40 and Times that often features articles on UFOs. Jenny Randalls is the publication's chief expert. They've been spotted in this country and all around the world ever since the 1940s, just after the Second World War. Roswell is a particular famous example.
Giles Challenge.
UFOs were spotted in France in the 1870s that led to the writing of Jules Verne's story about UFOs. So they weren't first spotted in the 1940s. So, deviation from the facts.
I should... Well, yeah, I...
Wow.
That's all?
Yes, I should have said it became popular, spotted. Yeah. But, yes, I don't know about Jules Verne, but if Giles says that's right, I would believe him.
No, I think they were spotted earlier.
Although the face he's just pulled makes me think that he's lying.
And you applaud him when he makes these rude remarks about him.
It's just the face.
It is. Thank you for understanding.
What was the Jules Verne story that's got flying saucers in it?
Le saucer... Volant.
Take all his points off him.
No. I've called his bluff, Nicholas. I've called his bluff.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't.
Well, we'll find out. UFOs is with you.
No. Alexa, Jules Verne, 1872.
I haven't said you start yet.
You carry on, Nicholas. I'm so sorry.
No. It's up to you to carry on.
Oh, is it my turn still?
35 seconds ago, UFOs starting now.
In 1989, I was driving...
Paul Challenge.
It was 1988.
I won't charge on that. It was such a lovely interruption. But, Giles, no points. 33 seconds still available. UFOs starting now.
I saw this UFO landing near the M25. I was aghast. Others witnessed it as well. It fell to the ground and a little man in a silver suit emerged and a police officer approached him with a truncheon out. It turned out this was the 31st of March in whatever year, I don't quite recall, but it was in fact Richard...
Paul Challenge.
Her hesitation,
yes,
sadly.
There was.
Yes, there was. So
what happened?
Well, it was... It was Richard Branson.
What?
Richard.
He was the alien.
Richard Branson was, as a little amusing publicity stunt, trying to land a UFO in Hyde Park on April Fool's Day, but the wind got up at the wrong time, and it landed a few hours early off the M25. I was hesitating because I didn't know whether to say Sir Richard Branson or Richard Branson.
You didn't want to offend him.
How did you happen to be there?
About which year he got the knighthood in, and I didn't want to be picked up on that.
On the year.
How did you happen to be there at the time?
Well, because I've been reading a book by Jules Verne, which suggests that possibly I was just there going round and round in circles, as one does.
I think we've had enough on that.
Good call.
Paul, 9 seconds still available. UFOs starting now.
As the human figure emerged from the flying saucer, it resembled Nicholas Parsons. There is a planet far away which creates humanoids in the shape of our chairman.
Right. So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's gone forward. He's now in the lead, one ahead of Giles Brandreth. And then come Kerry Godleman and then Jenny Eclair in that order. And Kerry, we're back with you to begin. And the subject now, superstitions. Talk about them, 60 seconds, starting now.
Superstitions are things that people believe might bring you luck, either good or bad. Some examples of superstitions.
Jenny, challenge.
Diane, you'll get it back in no time.
What's your challenge?
Oh, she hesitated.
Superstitions is with you, Jenny. 52 seconds available, starting now.
I'm a very superstitious woman. Won't walk under a ladder. Friday the 13th, I spend the entire day in bed. Nothing can go wrong under my duvet unless my kidneys explode or the ceiling falls on my head. Of course, as Kerry mentioned, not all things are bad omens. Black cats, not sure either way. However, I always have a lucky rabbit's foot and a four-leaf clover sewn into my fortunate knickers, which I'm wearing tonight.
Paul challenge.
You have a rabbit's foot sewn into your knickers?
All right, it's not sewn in, it's gaffer-taped in. I'm a very lazy woman.
So, we don't know unless you...
We don't know.
Off. No.
So if she says she's got it, she's got it.
I've always had it. Doctor can't get rid of it. I've had all the antibiotics.
So, incorrect challenge, Paul. 16 seconds. Superstitions are starting now.
Of course, it's ridiculous. There's nothing about good or bad luck that's...
Giles.
Repetition of luck.
Yes, you mentioned luck before, Jenny. And, Giles, you've got him with 11 seconds to go, with another point, of course. Superstitions are starting now.
I had to hesitate on my way here this evening because I passed a ladder leaning against a wall and I was thinking, do I go under it, when I saw a black cat crossing? And maddeningly, I bumped into it.
So, Giles Brandreth speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point. And he's taken the lead again, back ahead of Paul Merton. And, Giles, it's your turn to begin. Online shopping is the subject. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
Online shopping is fraught with danger, as I discovered due to a story that I'm going to tell you that gets me around to online shopping, but bear with me. It's to do with my tour that I'm undertaking and a man in the audience shouting out, fish, halibut, kippers, we haven't heard about them. I paused and inquired. It turned out that he thought he'd come to see Rick Stein and was disappointed that I was not telling him how to debone a trout. He had bought tickets online. The next show was the aforementioned chef who celebrates the fishy things that go around in the water. And he had inadvertently chosen tickets for the wrong adventure. Online.
All right, Jenny, you challenge.
Tickets.
Well, listen, Jenny, correct challenge.
Oh, thank you.
He did repeat it. 21 seconds online shopping with you, starting now.
I've made some terrible mistakes with online shopping, especially clothes. You look at some young model in a yellow top, think that'll suit me, click away and you've got it. Next thing it arrives, some sick lemon rag that couldn't fit a 2-year-old. You might as well set fire.
So Jenny Eclair was speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point. She has moved forward. She's only 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's only 2 points behind Giles Brandreth. And they're all 3 or 4 points ahead of Kerry Godleman. And, well, she only played the game once before.
I know, it's
and
harder
Paul Merton, your turn to begin the game. Wembley Stadium. Tell us something about that amazing place in this game, starting now.
The first FA Cup final played at Wembley Stadium was in 1923 between West Ham United and Bolton Wanderers. Jules Verne wrote about it in a book at the time. The winning goal was scored by a man called David Jack, and unfortunately at the time, because the ticket allocation wasn't as sophisticated as it is these days, there was hundreds of thousands of people turned up to watch this occasion, and there was a policeman on a white horse that had to control the crowd, and this became known as the football game where the equine alabaster creature featured quite strongly in some photographs of the day. Wembley Stadium has seen many occasions. We think of the 1966 World Cup match between England.
Okay, challenge.
Is it Cup? FA Cup?
Yes, right, yes. Yes, well done.
So stressful.
Yeah, well listened, Kerry. And you've got 16 seconds to tell us something about Wembley Stadium, starting now.
Wembley Stadium is where I believe they play football games, but I'm not particularly interested in that sport. I do not understand how people get so excited about a ball being kicked around a field. There are other things in Wembley.
So, Kerry Godley-Mumma's speaking was a whistle went. She is now equal with Jenny in third place, but only 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's only 1 point behind Giles Brandreth. And, Jenny, it's your turn to begin. The subject now, David Bailey. 60 seconds, starting now.
Who do you think you are? David Bailey was a catchphrase some of us of a certain age will remember from a television advert where David Bailey himself was advertising cameras. I think it might have been the Olympus Trip, no doubt. Giles could put me right on that. He was a photographer from the East End, made good, a sort of cheeky, chappy, handsome lad who snapped many models of the day, including faces such as Twiggy, Penelope Tree, Mary Helvin, Jerry Hall, and one day the call came for myself.
Wait.
Jenny, my agent said, David Bailey wants to take your visage. So I went to this studio and disrobed onto...
Well, that doesn't often happen. No. Someone begins with a subject and keeps going without hesitation, repetition or deviation until the full 60 seconds. So you get a point when the whistle went and a bonus point for not being interrupted.
Yeah.
And you have moved forward. You're in second place now. One behind Giles Brandreth, one ahead of Paul Merton and two ahead of Kerry Godleyman. And Kerry, we're back with you to begin. The last time I won something. And a second to think about it. 60 seconds if you need. Starting now.
The last time I won something was at my children's school fair, which was the tombola, and I won a tin of beans. It seems that most people donate something they no longer think they need or some junk at the back of a cupboard. I have been known to donate...
Oh.
Donate.
Donate. Donate.
I see my error now.
So, Giles, a correct challenge. A point to you. Donate. The last time I won something, something now.
The last time I won something was in a charity auction, and it was a visit to David Bailey's studio, where I was invited to look through his back catalogue and came across these extraordinary pictures of a young woman with a rabbit's foot tucked behind her buttocks. It was an amazing sight. I must say, the sticky back plastic in it didn't look much like gaffer tape to me, but there was undoubtedly an erotic charge as I looked at this particular piece of artwork. And I thought to myself, this remarkable artist has really given me something that I do feel glad to have won. The other time that I won something rather special was when Nicholas took me to meet his wife at rather an amusing swingers party. This was where sticky back...
And we're moving into the final round. Giles Brandreth, that last flourish, is in the lead, and he's one or two ahead of Jenny Eclair, who's one ahead of Paul Merton, and she's two ahead of Kerry Godleyman. And Giles, we're back with you to begin. Central Park. Tell us something about that place in this game, starting now.
Central Park exists in New York City, and it's one of the most beautiful places to go for a leisurely afternoon with a close and intimate friend, somebody like Jenny Eclair, or now, I hope, Kerry, because we've become quite close during the course of this programme, though she rather resented when I began to say 07165. For she said, don't go that far, we're not going to Central Park together. I said, fine, if that's the way you feel about it, we won't. I want you to pick daisies in Central Park. There are horses that are trotting by. I could give you an amusing ride. Central Park, the people dress so well. And we have such fun there when we go trit-trotting around.
Oh, poor chap.
Trit-trotting?
Trit-trotting.
What's trit-trotting?
I think it's all right.
You think trit-trotting is all right?
Yeah, well...
Trit-trotting's all right, is it?
Well, it's a way of getting around saying trot-trot-trot, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Just make up a word and then you don't have to say the other word.
I give the benefit of the doubt, Giles. Another point. 19...
Oh! Oh!
You hear the Northern Line going through, then, didn't you hear it?
All right, no points, but Giles, it's right. But still with you, 19 seconds starting now.
Well, I am very relieved, because I have to say, in Central Park, when I go there, the people cheer. They wave their hats.
Repetition
of
people.
There were people before when you went to Central Park, yes. Oh. And Jenny, correct challenge.
How many seconds, Nicholas?
13.
Oh, there we are.
Central Park, the subject, starting now.
I don't think Central Park is all that central to me, to be honest. I'd have to get a plane, book a hotel and a cab to get to the place. Of course, the idea is spotting...
Paul Janice.
You wouldn't have to book a hotel to get to the place.
Well, I wouldn't be able to get straight back to my
house. Yeah, but the hotel's not moving you there.
Well, if
I mean, it's not a form of transport, a hotel. See what I'm saying? It's not on wheels,
I'm
love. It's not
I'd
on
have
wheels.
To make a...
It's not like a train or a plane. It's not,
I'd have to make a weekend of it, Paul. I'm yes, not just nipping there and back.
Doesn't
I'm not
get you there. You're ignoring the fact that it's central to all everybody who lives in New York. You're being very, very sort of, you know.
Can you two please stop it?
Yes.
I agree with your logic, Paul.
Oh, good.
You have a correct challenge. And you have 3 seconds to go.
Yes. Ooh. There.
It don't make any that? Difference to the final score. It doesn't matter. Central Park, Paul, starting now.
Trish trotting around Central Park.
And for those who are interested in points, let me give you the final score. So Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair were equal in second place, just ahead of Kerry Godlimham, but they were 2 points behind Giles Brandreth. So we say, Giles, you are the winner. So then it remains for me to say thank you to these four exciting players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Kerry Godlimham and Giles Brandreth. I think Sarah Sharp, who helped me with the score, blowing her whistle so delicately. We're indebted to our producer, Matt Strong. We're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're indebted to this lovely audience here. So from them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. And tune in when we play Just a Minute.